Welcome back. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. California is home to 112 community colleges. Many students attend community colleges because they're less expensive, more flexible alternatives to state universities or other four-year colleges. Community colleges also cater to a diversity of students, from college-aged individuals in their first round of higher education to older residents taking classes for personal growth, professional development, second careers, or just to have a creative outlet. Now, the community college system in California has already had its budget cut by $400 million, and it stands to lose an additional $127 million should further cuts go through in the state legislature. In response to a retreating budget and a sinking economy, the California Community Colleges Student Task Force has drafted a proposal that would prioritize transfer students and put more of a focus on career paths. But some students and faculty are concerned that these changes might make higher education less accessible. So what do you think? What do community colleges mean to you, and what role do you think they should play in higher education? Karen Saginaw is president of the Academic Senate of City College of San Francisco. That's the organization that represents the faculty voice. Karen is a librarian at City College, working with students who are conducting research or doing their homework, and she is also a classroom teacher, and Karen opposes this proposal, and Karen joins us in studio. Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're also joined by Joe Fitzgerald. He's editor-in-chief of The Guardsman, the student-run City College in San Francisco newspaper. The Guardsman is leading a call to oppose the task force in whole, and Joe also joins us in studio. Hi, Joe. Thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here.
And we're joined by Jesse Ryan, associate director of the Campaign for College Opportunity. That's a Sacramento-based organization whose mission is to ensure that California students have the opportunity to attend college, and the campaign supports the proposal. Hi, Jesse. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So all of you have very personal experiences with community colleges, and I'll ask you to tell us about that a little later in the show. But first, let's just dive right in and talk about this student task force. And Jesse, since you agree with the proposals, why don't you give us a little background? Why was the student task force organized in the first place?
So the Student Success Task Force of California Community Colleges is the result of legislation SB 1143 that was put forward by Senator Carol Liu last year. That legislation originally would have altered the current community college funding formula, but was modified to create a Student Success Task Force to look at strategies for significantly improving student outcomes across the 112 community college system. Currently, the task force has 20 members, comprised mainly of internal and some external stakeholders. You've got trustees, campus presidents, business leaders, faculty, some student representatives, and a representative from a community-based organization. And they're all coming together with a primary goal of figuring out strategies and innovative measures to be able to help improve student outcomes across the system.
Karen, what would you add to that, just about the background of the Student Task Force?
This was a very accurate background. One of the things is that the original bill, the funding formula was going to be performance-based funding, which is basically funding based on what are the outcomes, rather than, and it morphed into this thing that was the other recommendations. Among the recommendations that are there, there's also some of them are about centralizing community colleges, more decisions to be made at the state chancellor's office instead of at the local level, and that's an important aspect of the recommendations.
So let's go back to the people who are putting these proposals on the table. So you've got 20 members, and Jesse listed a number of community members, some business people. Can we be specific with names here?
That's actually a really interesting point I wanted to bring up, is that it sounds like really diverse. Oh, there's these trustees, there's these different people with different positions, but actually a lot of the people are from Southern California, a few from Sacramento. There's no representation from the Bay Area on this task force. City College of San Francisco is the second largest college body in the country. There's over 90,000 students enrolled in City College of San Francisco, and there's no representation by San Francisco or the Bay Area on that board.
Who chose the members?
I would also want to add that the student representative, Kevin Felicianos, who is the current president of the Student Senate of California Community Colleges, is actually from the Bay Area.
You know, as interesting enough, Kevin Feliciano representing all the student trustees at the meeting where he was gathering student trustee opinions was basically echoing the ideas of Jack Scott. Our student trustee from City College of San Francisco advised opposing the task force in whole. Kevin Feliciano said, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to agree with the people from the Bay Area. I'm not going to agree with City College of San Francisco. I'm going to echo Jack Scott, and I'm going to say
who's
that we should... I'm sorry, the chancellor of the California Community Colleges in California.
Okay.
So he's the chancellor of all the schools in the state, and Kevin Feliciano is basically echoing what this man has to say.
So do you feel then, Jesse, as a... I'm sorry, Joe, as editor-in-chief of the Guardsman, do you feel like this task force gives you and other students a voice?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, at the last meeting, the December meeting, so we organized at the Guardsman this big kind of email reaction. We went classroom to classroom delivering newspapers crying out about the task force. We went to over 60 classrooms. We talked to hundreds and hundreds of students and teachers and faculty. But, you know, at that meeting, Dr. Jeanette Mann, who's on the task force, says, it seems we got a lot of letters that seem to be programmatic. It seems they're responding to an article or some sort of call to action. I'm paraphrasing here, but she says, you know, it feels like they all are echoing similar ideas. Well, I think we should pay less attention to these ideas. I called her later on. I called her on the phone. I said, really? Are you going to discount these people's voices just because they may share similar opinions? And she says, absolutely. This sounds like they're all in an echo chamber. We don't have to listen to this.
Jesse, what about that?
I absolutely agree with Joe that the student voice is incredibly critical in this process. I'm a former community college student myself, a proud product of the system, and I actually attended three campuses simultaneously to get the classes I needed so that I could continue on towards my transfer goal. I think that in talking to students across the state, and the campaign has a broad coalition of student leaders from all regions across the state, there is some divergent viewpoints around the task force recommendations. I think when we've had an opportunity to sit down with students and talk about the meat of the recommendations, which is really understanding that we are in a crisis environment in California, that we have limited resources unlike any other time for the systems of public higher ed, and that we have to make some really difficult decisions about how we're going to prioritize that spending. And making sure that students have access to the classes they need to transfer or meet their workforce development goals is a critical priority. And students get that, particularly because I've heard students up and down the state tell me stories about having to sit outside a classroom to get a class, unsure that they're ever going to be added to that class, you know, taking 6 years to get through the system when they thought that it was only going to be 2 years to move on to a four-year university. And what that means both to the students and to their families as they're trying to get out and meet those workforce needs.
I'd like to respond to that. Prioritizing the needs of the transfer students, of folks who are fresh out of high school and are trying to go on to college, it is a very important thing to meet those needs. And we've been working with different things at City College to try and meet those needs better. However, for California as a whole to decide that we, since we don't have enough money, that is really all we're going to do, and we're going to stop providing the kind of retraining that people need after they've gone out and they've started work and now they discover they need another skill, or they're out of work and they need skills to go back to work, to put them at the back of the bus, to not give them anything, is going to be difficult. Now, the first version of the task force recommendations that came out in September, and by the way, I attended some of the meetings also, and I was very concerned to see that a lot of agendas seem to be really pushed onto the task force members, that many of the task force members complained that they did not get an opportunity to really discuss these things in detail. Even at the last meeting, I talked to one of the faculty members who had a whole list of issues that they never discussed that were important and really needed to be addressed because this has been pushed through so quickly. But in any case, the original version completely left out career technical education, completely left that non-credit ESL immigrant education and so forth was completely left out. They changed it a little bit to sort of add it back in, but it's still very clear that there's going to be real obstacles to our supplying the kinds of skill-building courses that people really need.
So just to be clear again, this task force was set up to figure out sort of the future of community colleges, where community colleges are going. And one of the main controversial proposals here is that this would prioritize transfer students. So, Jesse, can you talk about the reasoning behind that? Why would this really put more of a focus on transfer students?
I'm happy to do that, Rose. But first, I just wanted to respond to a couple, I think, really important points that Karen raises. You know, Karen spoke about the decision by CCSF to offer priority registration to first-time freshmen. And absolutely, I think that the community college really exerted leadership in doing that. One of the task force recommendations is that the system as a whole also prioritize registration for first-time freshmen. So looking at the fact that there are some local campuses that have really had the courage to take leadership and put some of these policies in place and help students who are trying to get into the courses that they need to continue on, and saying, how can we take that to scale so that all students across the state have the same benefit of those policies? I think the other piece that Karen raised that I think is very important is the idea of the public input and the changes that were recently made to the task force recommendations. The task force, you know, came together over a period of about a year and had what I would consider some very robust and at times heated conversations about what community colleges mean. And I think we all agree that community colleges are one of the great gems in the state of California, particularly in higher education, and are the gateway to opportunity for the vast majority of our students. So part of the conversation became, what do we do in this time of limited resources to continue to be that gem of the higher ed system, while recognizing that we're going to have to make some tough choices in prioritizing how we serve students? And after the recommendations were put together, they were taken to a series of town halls across the state, where I'm really pleased to share that community groups, students, educators came out and talked about what they thought were the real opportunities in the task force recommendations and then what the challenges were. And as a result of concerns that were expressed, there have been several modifications to the original proposal. When you talk about prioritizing transfer, you know, that is just one of many conversations. Really, the task force recommendation looks at ensuring that students who enter the system get the key interventions that they need up front.
But Jesse, I'm sorry to cut you off there, the transfer part is the one that seems to be the most controversial, because a lot of people argue that if you focus on transfer students, how does that affect older students or people who are having a career change? Actually, the last time we were at City College doing a show, I met a number of students who actually graduated from a UC, but because they can't get a job and can't afford to pay off their loans, they're going back to community college. So
those people will be left out in the cold, because there's a 110 unit cap, and then once you go over that 110 units, then you lose priority, you pay out say fees, all those things happen to you. But that happens if you leave, graduate, and come back. So people returning.
Well, what would happen to the students who aren't planning to transfer to a four-year college?
When you're talking about students who are returning, looking to upgrade skills or be able to develop new skill sets so that they become more marketable in a competitive economy, one of the things that the task force recommendation asks is that students declare an educational goal and get an ed plan within the first two semesters of enrolling in the community college. So if a student came in and said, we're here to upgrade our skills, it's not that they would not be able to do that. That is not the intention of the task force. It's making sure that we're doing the absolutely critical advising up front so that students are getting the classes they need in accordance with their educational goals. So I think that it really is important to distinguish that, because we're not trying to say that those students don't have a place in community colleges. We're just talking about how they get their services. And I think the reality
is... All right, let's get
Jesse's having some of the most
let's
narrow...
Let's get a response.
See, the task force has a very narrow idea of what completion and what the economy means. Jesse's group talks a lot about revitalizing the economy, but their view of that is you must get a certificate, you must get a degree. There are numerous, numerous examples of people who aren't counted in the task force's definition of success. Sorry, Karen is right. So
one of the things that happens with the completion, actually, is if completion is a piece of paper, I found that many of our students at City College, they will come in, they will say, yes, I want a certificate. They will do all the requirements for the certificate, but then they don't actually do the one last piece of paper to get the certificate. For many students, in fact, the piece of paper is not what's important. It is just getting the skills. So adding more requirements of you have to make, you know, you have to put in the right piece of paper, you have to line up with this, it's really not clear at all what it would mean to do an education plan for a returning student who just wants to take one course. It's not at all clear that that's actually been put into the recommendations in a way that would be workable.
Not only that, but City College and community colleges in general really prepare students for jobs, even through one or two courses. I'm in this journalism class. This is how I became part of the Guardsmen. This is my second semester. But I've seen people go through two semesters of the Guardsmen. One of them, Greg Zeman, is now the editor-in-chief of El Tecolote, a neighborhood mission paper. He has no certificate from City College saying he was a journalism graduate. But is he editor-in-chief of a dang newspaper? Yes, he is. Is he getting paid for it? Yeah, he is. That's economic growth. The task force does not count that. And there are numerous stories just like it. Even from my own newspaper, I know a guy who's doing online development for three or four different websites with the skills he learned through us. Another man who is starting a new newspaper in San Francisco, Bain News Movement. They're having a kickoff party tonight. All started by ex-Guardsmen staff, not many who have certificates, some who are still at San Francisco State, because they transferred from City College. Counted in the task force's definition of success? No way.
That is Joe Fitzgerald. He's editor-in-chief of the Guardsmen, the student-run City College of San Francisco newspaper. They are leading a call to oppose the task force in whole. We're also joined by Karen Saginaw, president of the Academic Senate of City College of San Francisco, the organization that represents the faculty voice. She also opposes the task force. And Jesse Ryan is associate director of the Campaign for College Opportunity, a Sacramento-based organization whose mission is to ensure that California students have the opportunity to attend college, and the campaign supports the task force and the proposal. And it's the California Community Colleges Student Task Force that has drafted a proposal to really draw out a plan that would look at the future of community colleges. And this proposal would prioritize transfer students and put more of a focus on careers. And we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this task force and this proposal? If you're familiar with it, what do you think of its members and how it was drafted? What do you think of the proposal itself? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. What do community colleges mean to you? If you've taken classes at a community college, what was your experience? What was your goal? What did it offer you? What did it give you? And also, what role do you think community colleges should play in higher education? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. We have an email from Kathy Kelly who writes, I am Academic Senate President and Early Childhood Development Instructor at Chabot College in Hayward. We have had dozens and dozens of hours devoted to responding to the so-called Student Success Task Force and the major change in direction their entire approach entails. The mission of the California Community Colleges is spelled out in language that is poetic and clear. The California Community College is the last hope of many California residents, the aged, the immigrant, the migrant, those who have nowhere else to turn to improve their lives. She writes, the task force recommendations require lots of extra work without any extra funding. What they suggest means either limiting access or focusing on efforts that would limit options for those who are academically advanced, one or the other. And this is from Kathy Kelly, Academic Senate President and Early Childhood Development Instructor at Chabot College in Hayward. Jesse, what's your response to Kathy Kelly's concerns?
Rose, I think that it's really important to remember that when we're talking about access, it's also access to what? And I think our conversation here is we want to ensure that we're having a really honest dialogue, because the reality is that we are shutting out 130,000 students across the community college system. Those are students who were admitting into the system, who are excited to begin their educational journey, but can't get the classes they need to successfully progress towards those educational goals. Students like my brother, who right now is going to American River Community College in Sacramento and can't get any of the basic classes he needs to be able to move on. And I'll tell you, for a low-income young man like my brother, it's devastating and calls to question whether or not he's going to even stay at the community college system. So we are already constraining access. We're being forced to do that, and it's very unfortunate and troubling. But the reality,
you know, an honest dialogue does require kind of the unearthing of secrets. And, you know, as a journalism student, I do love documents. One interesting document that Karen found was the funders for Jesse's organization, the woman who is defending the task force. So the woman from this independent organization defending the task force on your radio show right now, Rose, is actually funded by most of the same companies that fund the task force. Lumina Foundation, the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, and previous funder, David and Lucille Packard Foundation, all fund the task force and Jesse's organization. That's a conflict of interest if I ever heard one. Jesse, response?
So I think that those major foundations that you just mentioned are funding pretty much many of the higher ed entities across the state, community-based organizations. Those are foundations that are working on student-centered issues, organizing issues, but not specific to institutional issues in higher ed.
But also institutions that, if you look at the Lumina Foundation, a report by allbusiness.com, which, might I say, is a news site without an agenda that just reports on business news, reported that the Lumina Foundation, 10 out of 14 of their board of directors, had strong previous ties to the student loan industry. So, you know, the folks who are in charge of student loans also are deciding the future of education and choosing who they fund, whose ideologies side with them. So I would wonder who your friends are, Jesse.
Joe, I think that we can all agree that we're here for students because we believe that students deserve the opportunity to go to a high-quality community college system and actually make it out of the system with a degree, a certificate, or enriched career skills. I don't think that that's a conversation that we need to have. I think the reality is that we all care about our students and that we need to be focused on improving completion, because by any measure, community college completion is extremely low. You know, we rank in the lower third of all community colleges nationally. And I think that this doesn't have to be an argumentative dialogue. This is about what can we be doing together to help increase student success, because we can no longer sit back and watch students slip through the cracks. And that's the real conversation that we need to be having.
Well, we've got a number of callers on the line, and we have to take a short break. Today we are talking about the California Community Colleges Student Task Force. They have drafted a proposal that would prioritize transfer students, put more of a focus on careers, and we'll go over some of their other recommendations. And today we are speaking with Karen Saginaw, president of the Academic Senate of City College of San Francisco, Joe Fitzgerald, editor-in-chief of The Guardsman, the student-run paper. They both oppose the proposal. Jesse Ryan is associate director of the Campaign for College Opportunity. She supports the proposal. What do you think? What are your thoughts on this? What are your opinions on this? Where should community colleges go in the future? 866-798-8255. It's your call. We'll be back after this.
Back to your call with Rose Aguilar in just a moment. Every couple of weeks, KALW sends out our email newsletter. Keeps listeners up to date on what's going on here at Local Public Radio and where you can connect with us at events all around the Bay Area. And it's free. Just go to our website, KALW.org, and click on the Sign Up for E-News link. Again, that's at KALW.org, and you click on the link that says Sign Up for E-News. This is Local Public Radio, KALW, San Francisco Online, KALW.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. We're podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows there and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up. Tomorrow, we'll have a conversation about the climate change conference in Durban, South Africa. 2 years ago, at the UN talks in Copenhagen, attempts to secure a global treaty and cut greenhouse gas emissions ended in a failure. So what is the outcome of these latest negotiations, and how does climate change impact economic growth? That's tomorrow. On Wednesday, we'll talk about whether people from different political backgrounds can come together to work on sentencing reform in the prison system in California. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about what's in store for the future of community colleges in San Francisco, in California. California is home to 112 community colleges, and the system has had its budget cut by hundreds of millions of dollars, $400 million. This year, it still stands to lose an additional $127 million. So in response to the budget and the sinking economy, the California Community Colleges Student Task Force, which is comprised of 20 members, has drafted a proposal that would, among other things, prioritize transfer students and put more of a focus on careers. So if you're familiar with this proposal or you have questions about it, we'd love to hear from you. What do you think should be the role of community colleges in higher education? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. Do you think there should be a priority on transfer students and a focus on careers? You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. If you're a student or a faculty member, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you just care about community colleges, how can we really make them accessible for everyone? Today, we're joined by Karen Saginaw, president of the Academic Senate of City College of San Francisco, the organization that represents the faculty voice. Joe Fitzgerald is the editor-in-chief of The Guardsman, the student-run City College of San Francisco newspaper. They both oppose the task force. Jesse Ryan is associate director of the Campaign for College Opportunity, and they support the proposal. We've got a number of listeners on the line. So let's hear from Jackie in Santa Cruz. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, as a former teacher, if you're having trouble with not enough resources, I just want you to look at the fact that when I was teaching, I noticed a lot of students kind of sloughing off thinking, oh, well, I'm going to junior college and that'll make it easy and then I'll work. And we know we have a lot of people who have to change their jobs in the midstream. So if you can look at this from the standpoint of how do you urge high schoolers to do their best, starting clear back in junior high or grade school, so that you have less of a remedial problem, except for the kids who really need that, and make sure that there's enough chance for people who have to change their skills in the middle of an economy that demands it. That's all I've got to say.
All right, thank you. We'll get a response after we take a few more calls. Let's hear from Kathleen in San Francisco. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello. I called because I was listening to your program, and I think I'm 60 years old, and I have to change my skills. All right, so I need the community college so I can go and get computer skills. Because in the job market, if I don't have computer skills, you know, I'm sunk, basically. So.
And are you planning to apply to a community college?
Yeah, I'm going to apply to City. Yeah.
And so I'm sure you'd like to know how this proposal would affect you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, well, we'll find out in just a minute. Thanks for calling, Kathleen. Let's hear from Jean in San Francisco. Hi, Jean. Welcome to Your Call.
Hi. You know, I'm really appalled that we're abandoning the future of our children. The access to a good education of any kind is so important. Personally, it's just a little personal testimonial. When I was 50, I was between jobs and wondering. And I went to the horticulture department at City College and ended up with a landscape business for over 10 years that absolutely saved my life. I never got a certificate. And sitting next to me were kids who had just graduated from high school. They didn't know what they wanted to do. They became gardeners and ended up sometimes city gardeners with really good jobs. Hispanic guys who were there in you know, to learn how to be gardeners. It really saved my, saved me economically. And I wanted to mention also that at one point, now I'm retired, I'm 70, but at one point I was on the civil grand jury in San Francisco, and we briefly looked at City College. We were asked to, of course, look to make sure everything is the things that the city sponsors are give the bang for the buck. We briefly looked at City College, and we decided there was nothing there. The place is a gift to San Francisco on so many levels. It's not just as a graduate college. It gives the people who cook in the kitchens, the culinary arts department is phenomenal. I mean, City College is a gift to San Francisco, and I'm sorry that anyone would ever consider just making it a two-year college.
Well, thank you for calling in, Jean. We have a comment actually from a colleague at the station who said, let's remember, pre-Prop 13, City College was free. Mm-hmm. And he said he jumped around from, went to school for maybe 2 years at a time, took some time off, went back to school, and now he's on the air. Never really got a piece of paper. So it's also important to remember what it was like in the good old days, right, where you didn't have to pay. Jesse, what about that? I mean, at a time when education is so inaccessible for so many people and the cost of tuition is going up, the cost of books is going up, everything is going up. What about the ultimate goal here? City colleges are supposed to be accessible for all.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like this proposal would sort of make it much harder for people to access City College.
It's not about limiting accessibility. I think that when you're talking about community colleges being the most affordable option for the vast majority of students, that is a very key point. I think what's troubling is that right now, according to research, only about 3 in 10 students attending a community college are actually going to complete a certificate or degree or transfer within 6 years. And I think that makes the cost of attending a community college so much greater than the tuition that we're paying right now. Students don't enter thinking it's going to take them, longer than two and a half years to be able to get out.
So what I'm confused about is how would this proposal change these statistics? So basically the proposal is going to be given to the legislature, and then based on the proposal they'll draw up legislation? Is that how this is supposed to work?
So right now, the proposal is a set of recommendations that will require several different approaches to implement. And I think that that's a very important point, Rose, that the implementation will be key. In some cases, the proposal requires just leadership at the individual campuses to do administrative changes, so it's just a policy change. In other cases, it requires some regulatory changes that will go through the Board of Governors at the system level. And you're right. And in third case, it will require legislation. Right now, these are just recommendations around a set of guiding principles around how to increase the number of students who are making it through the system. The next step will be to figure out how this can be adopted through either these campus-level changes or these legislative interventions as well.
Actually, I just want to say that the leadership for the local colleges, the recommendations really focus on what's going to be brought down from Sacramento. It clearly strengthens the state chancellor's office so that less will be allowed for the local colleges to make their own decision. That, for instance, what we did locally in terms of increasing the priority for first-time public school people from the public schools entering, that was a local decision that we did based on what we needed and what we saw locally. What will be taken away is the ability for colleges to make those local decisions. Ultimately, a lot more power is going to be put in the state chancellor's office, and it's going to be Sacramento who's going to be making the decisions that don't require regulation or law.
Go ahead.
What about the concerns of people like Kathleen? Because we're receiving a lot of emails from older students who are concerned about this.
So, Kathleen and Jean, who were talking about their experiences, this is not going to limit their availability of upgrading coursework. Right now, they're really struggling to be able to get into the classes they need to upgrade their skills to get back into the workforce. One of the things that the task force recommendations are hoping to do are actually in establishing goals for students as they enter. So a student like Kathleen coming back in would say, I'm here to upgrade some skills. I need a computer class and maybe another class so that I can get back into the workforce. They are going to get an ed plan that helps them reach those goals.
These ed plans, though, are mostly certificate-based, and that completely flies in the face of everything we've heard just now. Everything we've heard just now is a person with a story about one class they took. They didn't need that educational goal. And what these people are trying to do is force you into that certificate mold.
So what would an ed plan look like? If for Kathleen, for example, who needs basic computer skills, how would she be affected by an education plan?
So an education plan would be something that the student creates either by sitting down with a counselor or going online. And it would essentially be the coursework that they would need to make that educational goal.
The counselors you can't get, by the way, because there are not enough of them to go around.
Actually, we have an intern here who had a really hard time getting an appointment with the counselor. And as a result, she's not on the track she should be on. But
if the education plan is just going to be a list of the courses you're going to take, then really it's just another piece of paper or another form you have to fill out to create it. The ed plans nowadays are something that are not just, you know, here's a list of courses I want to take. Otherwise, it looks to me like this is adding sort of more bureaucracy for people who don't necessarily need the more bureaucracy. An ed plan now is new students coming in, they want to go through transfer, they sit down with a counselor or they figure out, here are the courses I need to take in which order. To say that you're going to use an ed plan for someone who wants to take two courses is just adding another step. One of the things that I think we can all agree on is the fact the lack of access. The real reason behind this is the lack of money for the community colleges.
Absolutely.
By rearranging the chairs, you're not really going to create more classes. And I think it's a shame at the state level to have so much energy put into how are we going to rearrange what we have instead of figuring out how can we get a little more. I mean, one of the things that I looked at in terms of the cost of this, you know, the state reimburses us for the students that we have a total of we educate people at City College for about $180 per credit hour. That's what the real cost is per credit hour for the students that we educate. And I want to point out that we're doing this. We're a public institution. We're unionized, right? And this is how we do it. Everyone always says, private companies can do things cheaper. The people who are pushed out of City College or pushed out of the community colleges are going to end up at the private colleges, and if they don't, you know, probably the private for-profit colleges. University of Phoenix is the cheapest. It charges $380 per credit. DeVries charges $600 per credit, and Academy of Art University is about $800 per credit unit. And what it costs for a student to go to a community college is $180 to $200 per credit union. It just seems a crying shame that we're going to say, no, we don't have space. We have to just rearrange the space we have. Everyone else is going to have to go into debt.
I'd like to respond to a couple of Karen's points. You know, first of all, I don't think that we would disagree about the chronic disinvestment in public higher education and the community college system. We know that the community college system has taken significant cuts and is being asked to do more with fewer resources. So that absolutely is true, Karen, and I think we simultaneously need to advocate for continued investment in higher ed and a real renewed commitment to redirect resources to the community college system and other systems of public higher ed. But I think you also brought up a really important point, which was talking about kind of the local autonomy that's valued by community colleges like San Francisco City College. And I think one of the things that we've seen is that some community colleges are putting forth policies and best practices like orientation for students, like assessment, like the development of education plans, like requiring students to take a student success class, whether it's one unit or three units, that are critical to both retention and student success. But that's not being done in the system as a whole. And part of the task force recommendations are saying, you know, what's good for San Francisco City College might be good for the rest of the state as well. We have to figure out a way to take kind of these boutique programs and policies to scale, because students in other regions of the state deserve to be able to have the same access to that orientation, to that first-time freshman enrollment priority. So, you know, I think that it's really important not to lose sight of that. And I think Karen also brought up the point about the number of students who are going to for-profit colleges. And it is staggering, and the debt that they rack up is significant. But if we're turning away 130,000 students a year and they're landing in private colleges or for-profit colleges, then we need to figure out a plan to keep them at community colleges and do a better job of getting the classes they need so that they can reach their goals, whatever they may be.
Yeah, well, but your plan isn't going to do that. Plain and simple. You guys were going to cut, the task force was going to cut non-credit courses. Those courses, like computer skills for seniors, ESL courses. Where are people going to learn English? Where are immigrants going to learn English if not at City College or community colleges for low cost or free?
But those classes are set to be cut?
They were going to, in the initial plan set by the task force, they've soon modified it, but still not completely fixed it. In the initial plan, any class, non-credit class, that didn't have a certificate, a direct certificate or degree or transfer, was going to be cut, including ESL classes. It's huge.
The task force recommendations don't cut non-credit classes. I think
not anymore.
To recognize that after feedback from the public, that was an item that was removed. I think
3 days ago,
the vast majority of the recommendations.
There's a lot more feedback from the public. There's a lot ways the recommendations could be further improved if the feedback from the public was given a little more.
So that recommendation was turned over just 3 days ago?
In the past week.
So
it was
overturned. All right, we've got full lines right now, and I just want to get this out there. How can people raise their voice about this proposal?
There are a number of ways. One of them is the My Idea Idea Scale site the Student Success Force put forth. It's studentsuccess.ideascale.com. studentsuccess.ideascale.com. You can put your own recommendations up there, vote them up, vote them down. You can see recommendations already there and vote them down. There are petitions out there. If you go to change.org, there are petitions against the task force started by many people in community colleges. And you can email the Board of Governors or Chancellor Jack Scott.
And Jesse,
you could go in person to the meetings, the places where these things are really going to get decided. Coming up this week on December 15th, the Consultation Council meets in Sacramento. The Consultation Council is the group that looks at what kinds of Title V changes, what kinds of regulation changes would be made. That meeting is open to the public. I understand there's supposed to be some opportunity for public comment, that is for people to speak at that meeting if you're there in person. As I said, it will be this Thursday in Sacramento. I don't know the exact location. You could find that on the State Chancellor's Office website, CCCC, that's 4 C's, O.gov, I think it is. And then the next opportunity for the public to come in person to give comment in Sacramento is January 9th. There's going to be a 2-day Board of Governors meeting in Sacramento, and it's specifically to take action on these recommendations. And I believe the opportunity for public comment will probably be on January 9th. It's January 9th and 10th.
All right, well, let's go through a few more callers. We've got about 6 minutes left, and then we'll get final thoughts. Let's hear from Jeanette in Sacramento. Hi, Jeanette. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Yes, I wanted to comment. I mean, we've been following the Student Success Task Force for the past year and have been really happy with the changes that they are making, that they've recently made. I mean, I think it's critical for California to really look at the community college system. It is a point of entry for so many students, especially students of color. I myself was a first-generation American. Went through the community college system. I was really lucky. I knew what I needed to do when I got there. I had a good orientation. I had counselors available to me, and I was able to transfer and get in and out within the 2 years and transfer to UC Berkeley. And I'm now working as an attorney. But I just can't believe that the community college system has failed students of color. I mean, I was a student over 20 years ago, and I can't believe that the rates are just so dismal for students of color. I mean, how can we support a system that takes over 6 years for a student to transfer? I mean, that's just, you know, unheard of. I mean, I really think that there's got to be some strong changes made within the community college system, really make a focus on helping students.
And can I ask you, Jeanette, we don't have much time, but this is important. How do you think community colleges are failing students of color?
You know, Well, if you look at the data, I mean, the data clearly states that it is. I mean, the graduation rates for students of color, the transfer rates are really, really low. And, you know, there's got to be, I mean, this is a critical point of entry for so many students. This is a place where students can, you know, make a significant change in their life and actually transfer to a four-year university, something that may have been out of reach at the high school level because of, you know, whatever problems students may have faced in that system. This is a second chance at the apple.
So you think that if this task force, these recommendations were turned into legislation, you would see more success among students of color at community colleges?
I think so, because I think that the focus needs to be on the success of the students and not necessarily just running the community colleges as they have been running for the past couple of years.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. Just quick response, Jesse or Joe.
You know, correlation is not causation. And since she's been to school and now the poor have been getting poorer, the rich getting richer, economic status and economic where you are economically is one of the biggest indicators of how you're going to perform in school, period. Mm-hmm. Teachers, class sizes, all that controlled. Economics decides it. And, people of color have been getting poorer. I'm Puerto Rican. I know it. It's a sad thing. And so we're doing worse in school. But it's not necessarily on the colleges. It's as much economics as anything.
We're very concerned about seeing the folks coming to us from the high schools are not well prepared. Mm-hmm. And that's an area in which we do a lot of helping people catch up and so forth. And that's a real concern to us. The students coming out of high schools are coming to us with less preparation now than they were 20 years ago.
Yeah, this sounds like we need to do a show on this issue because this is very important. Thank you for calling in, Jeanette. Let's hear next from Pamela in San Francisco. Hi, Pamela. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much. I returned to City College after I got my bachelor's and went through the culinary program and had a successful career as a chef for 10 years. If I were to do that now, I would not be able to do it because I would be charged $233 per unit, and it would be prohibitively expensive. And after a 10-year successful career in an unrelated field, I got my PhD. I'm now back at City College on the faculty. And a couple of things I wanted to address based on what was said on the show today was the repeated reference to the poor graduation rates. I think this is a misleading calculation because, as has been said many times, many of the student population are not there pursuing a degree. Many of the people are there to take one or two classes to further their careers or already have a degree, and they have no intention of graduating. But these people are all calculated in the mix when reference is made to the graduation rate of City College.
Yeah, we have a number of emails from people who say that they're going to community college or want to go specifically for one class. And did I hear you right, Pamela? It's $230 per unit?
$233 is the proposed rate, yes. That's the out-of-state fee that will be charged for anyone who already has a bachelor's degree, who is not in a transfer track program.
So if right Kathleen now, wants obviously. To take...
I do want to say that that's one of the things that changed. In the draft that came out in September, it said that those students would be charged more. The current draft does not say that. However, what it does say is that colleges will not get apportionment for students who are beyond their limit or who are taking something outside of an education plan, which really comes to the same thing. I don't know how colleges can do it without the apportionment.
How much is it right now per unit for in-state...
$36.
And it would change? So if Kathleen wanted to take a computer...
No, that's been removed from the proposal.
That's been removed, but the apportionment means that the colleges wouldn't be reimbursed the amount that for the student. So now it's the college taking a hit, and the college has an incentive not to take that student. So now the colleges will be like, well, yeah, we don't need you. Sorry, we're going to pay too much for you.
It's not clear to me how that's supposed to work out. It's something that was just changed in the December 1st draft, and I have no idea what it is they intend by saying, no, the students don't have to pay more, but the colleges won't get the apportionment.
Well, thank you again, Pamela. We have time for one more caller. Let's go to Monika calling in from Ohlone College. Hi, Monika.
Hi, my name is Monika. I am calling from Ohlone College, which is actually the student that is on the task force is from my college. as well as from Chabot College. And I just wanted to say that I support our paper. Actually, the Monitor came out in against the Student Success Task Force. And I find it really appalling that Kevin Feliciano, out of all people, is in support of these recommendations that the task force has put out.
And again, remind us who Kevin is.
Kevin is the president of the California Community Colleges Academic Senate.
Okay.
And he's
student
the one...
Student Senate.
Yeah. Student Senate. And I'm just really appalled that he, out of all people, is in support of these recommendations and that he's behind it, considering the fact that he has taken more than 2 years at a community college. He is going to multiple community colleges, and I feel like it is shocking, considering it's kind of like he's biting the hand that kind of feeds him to a certain extent.
He's on the task force. He's the student trustee on the task force.
The only student on the task force.
He's the only student on the task force. So I find it really shocking that he has come out in support of the recommendations and that he is claiming to be a student representative. And
well, thank you for calling, Monika. Sorry to cut you off. We're almost out of time. Jesse, your response to Monika? We've got about 20 seconds.
Absolutely. Kevin Feliciano strongly believes that by implementing the task force recommendations, he would have a more streamlined, efficient path to reach his educational goal. That's why he's supporting it. And speaking on behalf of students, not saying that you have to get through in 2 years, that is not the conversation at all. Talking about instead, how can we do a better job getting students the key services they need so that they can successfully progress?
It's not the task force's plan, that's for sure.
That is Jesse Ryan, Associate Director of the Campaign for College Opportunity. They support the proposal. Joe Fitzgerald is Editor-in-Chief of The Guardsman, the paper at City College of San Francisco. Karen Saginaw is President of the Academic Senate of City College of San Francisco, and they oppose the proposal. Thank you all for joining us. We'll definitely continue to follow this. Thank you for your phone calls and emails. I'm sorry we did not get to all of them. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. Here's what's coming up tomorrow. How does climate change impact economic growth? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation about the climate change conference in Durban, South Africa. 2 years ago, at the UN talks in Copenhagen, an attempt to secure a global treaty and cut greenhouse gas emissions ended in failure. So what is the outcome of the latest negotiations in Durban? Join us at 10 or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. How is climate change affecting economies around the globe? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. We'll